Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today, I am reviewing the book, The Power of When by Michael Breas, and he's a PhD. And this is the study of how our body's chronotypes or our circadian rhythms really affects how we get things done. When I first heard him on a podcast, I heard him on the Productivityist podcast, and I wasn't even done listening to the podcast before I was ordering his book. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have not finished reading it. I have just read the first third, but this is such a powerful resource and has helped me so much in how I view my clients and you and my family. And I cannot wait to share this book with you. It's called The Power of When. And actually, we're going to have a little bit like a story time today. And I'm going to read you a few sections out of the book and then expound on those as to how they relate to you and your family and how you can get your home organized. But there is just so much good nuggets of information and really paradigm shifts that I've had both in hearing about this book and reading this book that I can't really do it justice by just summarizing it for you. So I'm going to read a little bit of it. Now, this book is super interesting. And for me, I bought it because I wanted to understand how these four chronotypes really interplayed in my family, because I could see that we have three of the four. So first, I'm going to explain the four chronotypes, then I'll tell you kind of about the book, and then I'll relate it to home organizing. So there are four different kinds of people, okay? And all these people are going to be animals. And we have dolphins, lions, bears, and wolves. Now, just a little side note, whenever I take these little quizzes to find out what you are, I'm always the lion. I know this does not surprise you. And when I took this quiz, I'm actually 1 point away from a lion, and I'm technically a bear, but I still think I'm a lion. So we'll see. You'll have to decide when I'm reading about this where you think this fits. But here's why I was so excited about this book and why I think I'm actually a lion. I've been trying to lose 15 pounds for like ever. Maybe you can relate. And I hear about these different kind of diets and like maybe you should be all protein, no sugar, just so you know that my diet is like 90% sugar, 10% other kind of food. And I hate to cook. You already know that. And when I do sit down to a meal, like I never finish it. Like I eat maybe 500 calories at a time, maybe 700 if I'm sitting there and we're out to dinner with somebody. I don't tend to eat a lot of food. I easily can leave extra food on my plate. As soon as I'm full, I just stop eating. Unless it's ice cream, and then I finish it. And that's the other thing, like growing up, we would have a meat, a vegetable, a potato, because that's not a vegetable. Like if you're Irish, you have to have a potato, a bread, see, meat, potato, vegetable. And the vegetable was always corn, by the way, and bread, and then sometimes dessert. And I can easily get full and satiated, and I don't really like protein. Like I'll eat maybe 5 bites of protein and I'll be done. Like I can have a whole chicken sitting there and I won't eat it, but I'll eat all the mashed potatoes and all of the dessert. Thank you very much. But if you ask me if I'm hungry, I'll say I'm not hungry. And what I mean is I'm not hungry for that protein that you have on the plate or the rest of that salad or whatever it is. I can easily not eat that. Now, when it comes to sugar, I'm going to eat it all. So I used to say to my mom, my food compartment is full, but my dessert compartment is empty. And I love to have something sweet at the end of every meal. This is all going to relate to the book. Don't worry. So when I even will eat with Greg, I won't clean my plate, but I'll be thinking about, oh, that scoop of ice cream that I'm going to have next. So my food intake is very whatever it is dependent. So I don't necessarily eat to live. Okay. So when learning about these different chronotypes, dolphins, lions, bears, and wolves, we learned that they all eat in a different way. And lions wake up ravenous. I wake up starving. Like I was never the person that skipped breakfast because I was always starving. Yet my son will skip breakfast all the time. And I'm going to tell you about him. He is a wolf. Wolves do not wake up hungry. wolves are ravenous as soon as the sun goes down. As soon as the sun goes down, I mean, I'm eating because I like salty and sweet things, but I'm not eating because I'm hungry generally after the sun goes down. After the sun goes down, my husband and I are downstairs at 10 o'clock at night making food for our son because he is starving. And so understanding which of these chronotypes you are is going to help you understand how you eat and why you eat the way you do, how you sleep and why you sleep the way you do, when you're most productive in the day, how you relate to other people, and how your energy flows. So I'm super, super excited to share this with you. And once you understand how you think and what you need, then you'll be better equipped to help other people. Now, the reason I'm really excited to share this with you is because so often, especially on productivity type podcasts, you're going to find out the number one rule is to wake up early, do your most productive work first thing, don't check email first thing in the morning, have a miracle morning, start with meditation, exercise first thing in the morning. This book will tell you exactly which type of day, which time of day you're supposed to exercise. For me, it's 5 o'clock at night. Makes so much sense. Exercising in the morning has never worked for me. And then by the time you get to after dinner, I'm too tired. Like, I never schedule evening things, like my Facebook Live is during the day, because I'm too tired and I don't schedule coaching calls at night. And I know there are a lot more people that I could work with if I could schedule professional organization sessions, coaching sessions, webinars in the evening. I know I would be available to a much bigger part of the population, but like, there are evenings where I just cannot even form sentences. And all of my good friends know that by 8 o'clock at night, I'm in a bubble bath. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's summer and we have 3 more hours of sunlight left. I'm in a bubble bath, which is why I think I'm a lion. All right. So here are the 4 chronotypes in real life. So I'm going to tell you what the animals are like, and then I'll tell you what the people are like. So the first category of animal that Michael talks about are the dolphins. And let me just tell you, for some of you ladies listening today, you're going to be like, that's it. That is why I'm going crazy. I am a dolphin and no one has told me I'm a dolphin. Now, the dolphins are the smallest part of the population in people. They're 10% in people. But a real dolphin sleeps only when half of their brain, with half of their brain at a time, which is why they're called unihemispheric sleepers. The other half is awake and alert, concentrating on swimming and looking for predators. The name fits insomniacs well. They are intelligent, neurotic, light sleepers with a low sleep drive, which I forgot to tell you this. Okay, you have low sleep drive, high sleep drive, or medium sleep drive. This is the amount of sleep that you need in order to feel great the next day. So people who need low sleep, they may only even need like 6 or 7 hours at night, but they feel great the next day. Here, I'll actually read what Michael says. So I'm going to read out of the book about these different sleep drives. People with low sleep drive don't need a lot of sleep, so the night seems very long to them. Low sleep drive people are easily woken up by sound and light disturbance. They wake up feeling refreshed and alert. That's me. So I only need about 7 hours of sleep at night. I wake up to everything. Like, it's so funny. We have 2 box fans in our room running because I literally wake up to everything. So we have all these, and it's completely pitch black. Like, even if the little light on the TiVo is on, that will wake me up in the middle of the night. So I need it pitch black with a lot of white noise, but I will sleep, you know, 7 hours and I'll wake up a couple times at night, but I will wake up fully refreshed. All right, then there are people that need high sleep drive. My husband has a high sleep drive. They need more hours of sleep, so the night feels too short for them. High sleep drive people sleep deeply, but they wake up feeling less than refreshed no matter how much sleep they get. So Greg always gets 8 to 10 hours of sleep at night, but he never feels well rested. So those are people that have high sleep drive. Then there's medium sleep drive. They sleep somewhat deeply and are satisfied and refreshed by 7 hours of continuous rest. So maybe I'm low because I can wake up easily, but medium sleep drive would probably be my kids right now. So dolphins are light sleepers with low sleep drive. They don't need a lot of sleep and the nights feel really, really long to them. But when they wake up, they do feel refreshed. Then there are the lions, which doesn't make sense for insomniacs, but whatever. Okay. Then there are the lions, which is 15 to 20% of the population. Real lions out in the wild are among the hunters at the top of the food chain. This name fits morning-oriented, driven optimists with medium sleep drive. Then there are bears, which are 50% of the human population. Real bears are go-with-the-flow ramblers, good sleepers, and anytime hunters. This name fits fun-loving, outgoing people who prefer a solar-based schedule and have high sleep drive. So they're going to sleep a lot, but when the sun is up, they're ready to party. You know, like they're so in the wintertime, when the sun comes up later, they're going to sleep later. In the summer, when the sun comes up earlier, they're going to be up earlier, and they're going to stay out way late in the summer because the light is out. Then there are wolves, and wolves are 15 to 20% of the human population. And real wolves are nocturnal hunters. This name fits the night-oriented, creative extroverts with a medium sleep drive. Now, why I think this book is so powerful and why I think it'll be so impactful on you, the listener, is because there is very little literature, podcasts, books out there for the people who are dolphins and wolves. And that is anywhere from 25% to 30% of the population. And I also feel those are the people that typically struggle with keeping their homes organized. The lions struggle with keeping their homes organized because they're goal-oriented, you know, let's get up and conquer the world at 6 a.m. and why isn't my laundry already done and how can I be more productive type people. And the bears are like, all right, well, it might not be organized, but we're having fun and we'll just keep making progress and keep going with it. But no one really talks to the wolves, which get their energy at night. Like I will say, organize your house at night. And these are the creative types. So the creative types have more stuff because they get inspiration from their stuff and they're always creating and doing. And, you know, I'm sure they are typically the people who are not working the 9-to-5 jobs. The bears are working 9-to-5. And then they come home and they have their home type things. But the wolves are typically in the creative fields and they have different hours. And dolphins, I think, often feel like, why can't I get good sleep at night? How come I have this insomnia? And they're typically perfectionists. So they're not sleeping a lot and they're anxious and they're perfectionists. So let's learn a little bit more about what Michael says for each category. Now, I wanted to read you this. This is on page 24. It's called Lion Envy. And I definitely have a lion envy. So let me read you this short passage and then I'll tell you about it. A close friend of mine once took this quiz and said, I'm a bear. Knowing him to be a weekend napper, a foodie, and a personable guy with many friends, I wasn't surprised to hear it, but he was. I don't want to be a bear, he said. I want to be a lion. My friend does have some lion traits. He started up his own business and sees himself as a real go-getter with intense ambition and drive. His professional goals are his prime motivator, and having heard me talk about chronotypes, he sized himself up based on one aspect of his personality as a lion. If you see yourself at the top of the food chain and are disappointed not to actually be a lion, or if you aspire to be an early riser with energy to spare and a strategic mind, know that your lion envy is misplaced. Each chronotype has advantages and disadvantages across the board, from careers to relationships to physical health. What might seem as a bonus could be a detriment. Lions do tend to rise through the ranks and become bosses, but they tend not to be creative and extroverted. Lions might get more done before breakfast than most of us do all day, but they have a hard time in the social arena due to their very early bedtime and fatigue. The grass is always greener on the other side of the chronotype. Instead of wishing you were another type, develop self-awareness and understanding about your own biotime patterns. I just think that's so good to hear. Like, nobody has it all figured out. Nobody has the best of everything and you have all the leftovers. Like, that is not true. It doesn't matter what your chronotype is, but understanding what your chronotype is going to help you in so many ways. So let's get started. The first one I'm going to talk about is the dolphin, which is 10% of the human population. They have four key personality traits. They are cautious, introverted, neurotic, and intelligent. They have four key behaviors. They avoid risky situations. They strive for perfection. They have obsessive compulsive tendencies, and they fixate on details. So right there, if this is describing you, this is why you're having trouble organizing your house, is because you want it to be perfect first. You want to have all the details first. And some of this you figure out as you go through the messy middle. So here's their sleep and alertiveness pattern. Dolphins usually wake up feeling unrefreshed and are tired until late in the evening, when they suddenly hit their stride. Most alert late at night, most productive in spurts throughout the day, and they try to catch up on sleep through naps, but they can't quite make it happen. So if this is you, if this describes you, and you get bursts of productivity throughout the day, and you're most alert late at night, then do whatever project you want to do as you get that energy. If it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you just have this infusion of energy in you, do your organizing then and be flexible with your schedule. Don't say, I have to do my organizing every day at 8 a.m. or 4 p.m. or whenever. Do those projects, whatever projects they are, when you get that burst of energy, and ride that wave as far as you can, knowing that you're not the kind of person that's going to have long sustained periods of time that you can be working. Here are some other things I thought were interesting about what Michael says about dolphins. Dolphins can ruminate about mistakes they've made and things they've said, how they would redo their mistakes and misstatements if they could. So when he says that, I'm thinking, okay, these are the people that get the drawer organized. You know me, done is better than perfect. So, okay, fine, Lisa, done is better than perfect. I'm going to get the drawer organized. And they go, yeah, but there was this better container that I could have used, and these don't actually fit in there perfectly, and there's this little space left over. So you've gotten it organized. You've made progress. But because you're a perfectionist and because you're so highly intelligent, you know that there is a perfect solution out there and you haven't found it yet. And so it bothers you and you can't really enjoy the progress that you've made in getting organized. So I would love for you to just like take a deep breath as you start to hear those thoughts in your head, take a deep breath and go, oh, that's right. Progress over perfection. Done is better than perfect. It was, you know, not great before, and now it is better, and maybe someday it'll be perfect, but maybe it won't. And then it says, when dolphins do sleep, they skim the surface and often claim that they don't know whether or not they actually slept at all. Out of bed, dolphins are generally anxious as well. They tend to have type A personalities, and they are highly intelligent. Their attention to detail and perfectionism are ideally suited for precision work. Copy editing, coding, engineering, chemistry, composing, or performing music. They are happiest, or least irritable, when left alone to work by themselves and do what they need to do. They often get mired in the details to the point where they become paralyzed and get little done. Then about eating, it says dolphins are the eat-to-live types with a naturally fast metabolism. So when I read that, I think, number one, I clearly am not a dolphin because we all know I don't have any copy editing, coding, engineering. Details are not my friend. I am not your detail girl. And maybe that's why you like listening to me, is because you're so detail oriented and I'm so not, that that's the thing that you don't have in your brain. And so you get that from me. Maybe you can just suck a few of those details over to me. That'd be great. But when I read this, I think, okay, well, if they work better by themselves and you're going to naturally get this burst of energy in the evening, well, let the family go to bed and then use that time at night where you're naturally going to get the energy and you're naturally going to have that alone time to go after whatever it is that really fuels you and makes you you. And then the other 22 hours of the day, or how many hours you don't, if you do 2 hours, it'd be 22 hours of the day, know that, all right, well, you know, sleep just isn't one of those things that's going to come easily to me. And no, I'm not going to be a morning person, so I don't have to beat myself up about the fact that I don't have 8 loads of laundry done by 10 a.m. And really give yourself grace and start to notice your day. And when do you naturally have those bursts of energy? You're going to have multiple ones, and they probably are very predictable throughout the day. Maybe you have one from 10 to 11:30 and another one from 2 to 4 and then a longer one from 10 to 2 a.m. then work 10 to 2 a.m. and get everybody up and off to the bus and go back to bed until 10, like if you can, if there's any way to make that work for you. We do not have any dolphins in our household. All right, next we'll talk about the lions. So the lions are conscientious, stable, practical, and optimistic. Their four key behaviors are overachieving, prioritizing health and fitness, not me, seeking positive interactions, and strategizing. All the rest are me. Their sleep and alertness pattern are lions wake up bright-eyed at dawn or earlier, start to feel tired in the late afternoon, and fall asleep easily. They are most alert at noon and most productive in the morning. And for naps, lions hardly ever nap. They'd rather be doing something useful. So this is where I'm probably not a lion, because I do like to nap. And I can sleep in on the weekend. And a true lion is not going to really sleep in on the weekend. I think my daughter is a true lion. Like, she's a teenager now, so she could sleep in a little bit. But she was the kind of baby that at 6:30 or 7, she would go sit on the stoop on the bottom of the stairs. And she would cry if we didn't put her to bed. So we would put her to bed, and she would sleep a good 10, 12 hours, whatever. But she was up at the crack of dawn. It did not matter. And this was horrible when we would travel to California, because it's 3 hours time difference. We would all adjust to the time difference, and she would not. She would be up at, like, whatever, 3:30 in the morning. And we would put her in the little bathroom next to our bedroom with books, and she would read books for like an hour because she was up and she was ready to go. Lions in nature rise before dawn to hunt, and they are raring to go and hungry at first light. After a hearty breakfast, they're ready to conquer whatever goals you've set for the day. Lions burst with purposeful energy. Their bright-eyed, go-get-em eagerness might be their defining characteristics. Now, here's what you don't normally hear about lions, which I thought was so interesting. Lions prefer to be around other people, but since they tire early in the evening, having been firing on all cylinders for hours already, they are unlikely to stay out late with friends. They're usually the first to leave a party, saying that they have to get up early for a meeting or to train for a marathon. Okay, you always hear about productive people get up early and they do all these things. I thought this was so interesting and so true. Like, told you, I'm in my bubble bath at 8 o'clock at night. When I go to a conference, if they have an evening event, I usually don't even go because I know within an hour of being there, I'm going to be exhausted. Or I'll go ahead and stay up late and do that event, but then I'll be really tired the next day because I naturally want to fall asleep earlier. So if you are an entrepreneur and you listen to podcasts, the best lion I could think of is John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire. This guy gets up super early in the morning. He's very, very focused and structured, but he goes to bed every night at 9 o'clock at night. And that is how a true lion would be. They want to be in bed 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They're going to bed early. They're getting up early. And later in the book, it talks about how this actually hurts people who are lions. If you're a lion and you say, yeah, that's me, that actually a lot of that connecting, networking that goes on after hours when you get a drink after work, if you're in a corporate space, the lions aren't there for that because they're in bed so they could be at the meeting early in the morning. And sometimes that can hurt you moving up in your company. All right, next is the bear. This is 50% of the people. And this is where Greg for sure is. I borderline between a lion and a bear. The four key personality traits are they are cautious, extroverted, friendly and easy to talk to, and open-minded. This is definitely my husband, except he's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. It says lions are introverts. So these are the steady Eddies, the people you can always count on, the worker bees, the people that are going to get it done, that you don't have to worry when you delegate it to them. They're always going to come through for you. So their key behaviors are avoiding conflict, aspiring to be healthy, prioritizing happiness, and taking comfort in the familiar. So they don't like a lot of change. Their sleep alertness pattern. Bears wake up in a daze after hitting the snooze button once or twice. They start to feel tired by mid to late evening and sleep soundly, but not as long as they'd like. They're most alert mid-morning to early afternoon, and they're most productive late morning. And naps. Bears catch extra hours on weekends on the couch. This is so interesting. If you work in an organization and you find and you hear that, like, okay, 50% of people are bears, and most likely these are going to be the people that have the 9-to-5 jobs. Well, if you have an 8 a.m. meeting, like, they're going to be there. They're bears. They're dependable. They're going to be at the meeting. But really, if you could schedule that meeting at 10, they're going to have had their coffee, you know, gotten through their email, and they're going to be really, really ready to listen to you at a 10 o'clock meeting. An 8 o'clock meeting, they're going to be there, but they're just not at their most productive and alert self. Then it says that bears are active in the day and restful at night. They're grazers. They forage for food continually and will eat regardless of when they had their last salmon. They are playful and affectionate within the family unit and form close friendships within the larger society. Human bears' sleep and wake patterns match the lunar cycle. So in the summer, they're going to sleep less, and in the winter, they're going to sleep more. Bears would prefer to sleep for at least 8 hours per night, if not longer, and it takes them a couple of hours to feel fully awake in the morning. They're often hungry upon waking and may be hungry all the time. In the professional realm, bears are team players, balanced thinkers, worker bees, and middle managers with good people skills. Affable type B personalities, bears don't do drama often. In school, they were solid students with the same can-do attitude that applies on the job. Bears like to be around other people and grow restless and bored if they're alone for too long. Bears don't have high highs and low lows. If they get knocked off, they're even killed emotionally. It's a direct relation to a real life crisis. These are the steady Eddie friends that you can go to when you're in crisis, and they're like, it's going to be okay. All right, let's go get coffee. You know, they're those kind of friends. The last chronotype is the wolf, and this is what our son Joey is. I remember saying to him a couple years back, I think he was maybe in grade school, possibly middle school. Maybe he was just in middle school. And I looked at him and I said, Joey, I forbid you to get a job that starts at 8 a.m. and is a first shift job. You have to get a job that is second or third shift, because he just is not a morning person. And interestingly, he wants to go to Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida, which is a possibility in a couple of years. The way Full Sail works is it's a creative college, and it's in the arts and entertainment industry. And how this college works is you go to college when you would work your job. So if you are on set design, like for a traveling musician, then your classes are in the middle of the night, because that's when you set up sets for traveling musician concert things, is you do all of your setup literally in the middle of the night. So this college has classes 24 hours a day, and you work based on when your shift would be. And Joey just got his first job last week. I'm so excited. And he's working at a kids entertainment place, a Laser Craze place. And they have two shifts. But the first shift starts at 10:45 and goes to 5 o'clock. And the second shift is 5 o'clock at night to midnight, which is fine. The biggest problem in him getting this job is that Greg or I are going to have to pick him up at midnight. And clearly neither of us are wolves. But He's had one day. He went to his orientation first work day, and he ended up working 3.5 hours extra. He kept texting me, can I work later? Can I work later? Can I work later? And he ended up working an extra 3.5 hours. So once he got there, like, he just didn't want to come home. And that works in his chronotype. So wolves, the personality traits of wolves are, they are impulsive, they are pessimistic, they are creative, and they are moody. Their four key behaviors are: they like to take risks, they prioritize for pleasure, they seek novelty, and they react with emotional intensity. Their sleep alertiveness pattern. Wolves have difficulty waking up before 9 a.m. These are the kids that I can't even tell you how many times we've been tardy to school. It's super hard to get Joey to school on time. They do it, but they are not happy about it. They're groggy until midday and don't feel tired until midnight or later. They're most alert at 7 o'clock at night, and they're most productive late morning and late evening. Now, here's what's interesting. Naps are tempting, but if a wolf sleeps during the day, he won't sleep at night. It's just not worth it. Joey has said this to me. I'm like, take a nap. He's like, I can't, Mom. If I take a nap now, I won't sleep all night. And there have been many, many nights where this child has pulled an all-nighter, like he's only 17. And I can't even count how many times he hasn't slept at all at night. He has a very low sleep drive and he easily could stay up at night and he gets all of his energy at night. And so he wants to get done what he can. Here's a little bit more about wolves. Although they're not hungry at all in the morning, they become ravenous after dark. They are completely comfortable being alone, and often they are the last to leave a gathering. A wolf mind is insightful and intuitive. Right-brained wolves are always connecting the dots in strange and inventive ways. They tend to do work and thrive in creative fields, the arts, medicine, publishing, and technology. This is Joey to a T. And what I find raising a wolf, a couple of things I notice. Number one, he's diagnosed ADHD. But I would propose, or what is that when you're a scientist and you're going to run an experiment? My thesis or my, you know, my hypothesis. My hypothesis would be that a large percentage of people who are diagnosed with ADHD are really just wolves and they're not fitting into the bear's idea of what society is. I'm not saying ADHD doesn't exist. Clearly, we're treating ADHD. But as far as that insightful, intuitive, right brain creative, that is Joey. So here's a great example of that. Do you remember when there was that really big oil spill in the Gulf? It was maybe 7 years ago. It was huge. Tons and tons of oil. And so Joey was listening to the news about that when we were driving to school or whatever. And he's always thinking about how to clean water. Like even today, we drive over this river all the time. He goes, Mom, here's how we could filter this water so it would look cleaner and it would be better. So this oil spill had happened and I was teaching middle school at the time. And so Joey was not in middle school. So this was at least 7 or 8 years ago. And I was leading discussions in morning meeting of our middle school about this oil spill and what was going to be done and how we could solve it. So I'm sure I was talking about that in the car. And Joey said, here's what they need to do. They need to put some kind of a net, because I mean, he was like 10. So he said, they need to put some kind of a net in the ship and then have all the water go through the ship and catch the oil before it comes out the other side. Now, that's a very simple explanation for exactly how they ended up solving the problem. So a couple weeks later, I saw in the news that what they ended up doing was essentially creating these nets and running or whatever, filtering. It's a detail, people. I'm your big picture person. Somebody's going to be like, that is not what they did. You get the idea. This 10-year-old was able to figure out how they actually physically solved this problem that people had been trying to solve for weeks. And what they ended up doing was basically what this 10-year-old said and put a net, run the filtration, capture the oil as it flows through the ship, which is basically what they ended up doing. And I remember when I saw that on the news, I just was I'm dumbfounded now when I think about it. There have been numerous times where there have been some kind of an emergency state like this. Joey will tell me what the solution is, and that will end up being what actually happens in reality. This is an amazing mind. And the fact that we put all children through school from 7 a.m. to 2, and you know, we are not really taking into account the dolphins and the wolves that we have in our population. School is set up for lions and bears. And so if you have a child or if you yourself are a wolf or a dolphin, you're going, oh my gosh, yes, this makes total sense. So they're feeding you breakfast and lunch and you're not even hungry. And then you're going to sports practice and all of a sudden you're starving because you didn't eat lunch. Joey like never eats lunch. Like, I don't even put money in the lunch account. It's crazy. And then you're starving, but there's no food or ability to get food after school ends until you get home at whatever time that is. And that's when the wolves are starving. And that's why they look like little sticks running around. They're all the little sticks. Those are your wolves. So I don't even know how to wrap this up. What I'm saying is there is no benefit of being a morning person over an evening person. There is nothing that is keeping you from getting your home organized. And the more we learn about ourselves and the people in our family, the easier it's going to be for us to find the strategy for it to work for us. So in the 100-day home organization program that I have a daily 15-minute task, but I don't tell you when to do that during the day. So you do that whenever it works best for you in your day. And when I read The Power of When, and I really had the science, because there's so much science in this book, behind why Joey is starving at 9 o'clock at night, it makes so much more sense. So this is the other thing. Lions love to have dinner at 5 o'clock at night. I am starving by 4:30. Like, if Greg is going to be gone, I'm feeding the kids dinner at five o'clock at night, which works fine for Abby because she's a lion too. So we'll eat at 5 o'clock, no problem. Sometimes four. Like, we'll eat dinner at four. I'll have my biggest meal between 2 and 4. That is how a lion eats. A bear is going to have dinner like around between 5:30 and 6:30. Like, they like to eat at 6 o'clock. That average dinner hour of 6 o'clock, that is set up for 50% of the population, the bears. The wolves are starving at 9 o'clock at night. So once I read this book, I'll just give you a little bit more information about me. In our family, we don't sit and have dinner together. It bothers my husband because he's a bear. And, you know, let's all get along and let's have this communal time and let's not have drama. And I'm a lion, so I'm like, okay, let's proactively figure out the answer to this problem of why we don't have this family dinner hour. And there are multiple reasons. But one of the reasons is we're just hungry at different times. Like, I would prefer to eat my big meal at 4:30 or 5. Greg is going to want to eat his at 6. And Joey is not going to be hungry until 7 and ravenous at 9. And once I read this book, I was like, fine. They are almost 16, 17, and we are in our 40s. We have, you know, these are end of high school kids. They are getting jobs and going to be going to college, and they have friends and social activities, whatever. We aren't going to sit down and have a family meal every single night. On Sundays, we do, but the rest of the week, we don't. I am giving up the guilt and the weight of that expectation that I have not met for years now. And we all like different foods. So, you know, Greg wants to eat, I don't know, a lot more meat than I do. And Abby has, she's going through all these, you know, she's a teenager. She knows what she wants to eat. And Joey has things that he likes to eat. And so I said to my husband, here's the deal. Everybody can pick what they want for dinner. Because, you know, I'm not cooking. So we're heating all of this up, correct? So it's not like I'm making 8 different dinners. And then when it is a on your own night, which we tend to have a lot of, then you get to eat what you want when you want to eat it. So I get to have my dinner at 5 o'clock at night and I'm a happy little clam. And Abby makes hers whenever she wants. She usually makes it sometimes between 5 and 7. Whenever she's hungry, she goes in the kitchen, she makes what she wants. And then Joey eats between 7 and 9, and sometimes he eats multiple dinners because he didn't eat lunch during the day. And I'm okay with that. It feels really weird telling you this on the podcast. But for some of you, you're going to be like, well, hallelujah, I'm doing that too. I mean, what am I going to do? They're 25. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry that you're not hungry until 9. We're eating at 5 and we're having peas and carrots. Like, at some point you have to say, am I trying to live up to the Beaver Cleaver expectation of the Brady Bunch that I saw in my head growing up? Or let's look around me at the reality of the situation. We have very busy lives, very different chronotypes, very different food preferences, and I'm raising adults here. Like, these kids are moving into adulthood, and that's what high school is. This is when you and your parents, you know, you're navigating into this adulthood, and I'm going to be talking about this more in the future about how I'm specifically helping my kids navigate into an independent adulthood. Part of that is figuring out what you want to eat, when you want to eat it, and then having that food in the house. And one of my goals this summer is for the kids to come up with 5 dinners that they like and they want, and then they keep track of when they need that food so that when we go to the grocery store, everybody is putting the food that they want on the communal list. And then Greg or I will go to the grocery store, probably Greg, will go to the grocery store, bring those foods back into the house. So you know that, okay, Joey loves Skyline and hot dogs. Well, we need to make sure we have enough cans of that for however much he wants to eat. But if that's what he chooses to put on the grocery list, then we aren't also going to have hot wings and whatever. So this is part of understanding who you are. And the more you can understand who you are, the more you could take your own goal, which if you're listening to this, is probably organizing your house and becoming more productive, and dovetail that into your goals and not necessarily rearrange your personal day to think that if I can get up in the morning and I can exercise and change the laundry and do my organizing before I go to work at 9 a.m., but yet you're a wolf, you're never going to succeed with that. Understanding yourself will help you understand how you can get organized. All right. I hope that you enjoyed that. I think you guys are enjoying them. It's so cool. A couple of podcasters in another group said, I really enjoy Lisa's book of the month, and I'm going to start that on my podcast too. I was like, wow, that's super cool that people are enjoying it that much that they're going to review books that they like on their podcast. And I just, there is so much good literature out there as far as entrepreneurialism and growing a business. And running a house is so much like running a business. In a business, you would understand the personality types that you have working with you, and moving that, for some of you, moving that morning meeting from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., even if you're lying, you're still going to be raring to go at 10, but you're going to give your bears a chance to catch up with your energy level, and maybe you have worked a little bit of it off, so you slow down a little bit, which clearly I don't in these podcasts, but you guys have told me you don't mind that I talk fast. Just slow me down on the player. It'll be fine. All right. I cannot wait to share with you the book next month. It's going to be called The E-Myth Revisited, and that's the entrepreneurial myth. And yep, I'm going to relate it back to how you organize your house. You guys have a great week.